Supporting middle leaders in schools.
Guiding the senior leadership of tomorrow.
And developing your successful career in education.
This is Edgecast from NAHT Edge.
Influential and instrumental in the way Ofsted communicates its messages in the social media age. That's Sean Harford, an HMI and Ofsted's National Director. Sean is our guest on this month's podcast, and it's from Sean that you'll hear about the thinking behind the myth-busting document. Where did the myths come from in the first place? And is it possible for a school to have a no-written marking policy and still do well in an Ofsted inspection? Compulsive listening from Sean before too long. There's also the regular top tip.
And this month it's on improving the quality and standards in the early years. Course leader Louise Murphy says, do as much as possible to support effective transition into school. Always have plans in place to further improve the experience for children and their families, and know what's expected of children at Key Stage 1, so you can make sure your children are fully prepared for the learning that they will meet. Every month, a new tip to further your career. Submit yours to events at nahtedge.org.uk.
The news looks at how the DfE says they're willing to listen to you about flexible working, details about the new type of inspection for SEND, and what our director James has to say when it comes to mental health provision. There's also a chance to discover more about the next course we're laying on and really invest in your career. Time to get into the first part of our two-part conversation with Ofsted's Sean Harford. The first question I put to Sean was about the myth-busting document produced by Ofsted. What was the reasoning behind this?
The Mythbuster followed extensive and productive consultation with all teacher associations and head teacher associations and the DfE. And the idea really was to clear up some things where teachers and also head teachers had said to us and also their associations that they had an idea of things that were that Ofsted were expecting that maybe those things weren't things that when inspectors went into schools they were looking at. And it was just a good opportunity to clear up those myths, really.
Why do you feel some of these myths grew over time within schools then?
Well, I think the grapevine is a big thing in education. I think that obviously schools read other schools' inspection reports and they see things that sometimes are perfectly relevant to an individual school and the individual circumstance of that school. They may not be relevant to other schools, but people think, well, they got a good Ofsted report. Actually, why don't we do that? And then obviously things build up from there and it becomes that that seems to be accepted practice, but also practice that Ofsted want to see. So it was really important that we made sure that that was clear, that wasn't necessarily what we wanted. But also I think we know that some inspectors have gone out to schools and said, you know, I've asked for things in the past, maybe data cut in a certain way. And maybe they've asked about things in a way that suggested they wanted to see certain things rather than a way that said, well, what are you doing in this area? So, you know, and we listened to the unions about this and understood that position. And the other thing is sometimes that recommendations for schools were written in a way that would suggest that a school should do things in a certain way that may lead to unnecessary workload, which we really don't want for teachers. So it was a good opportunity, to say, to clear up those things and make sure everyone was had the right idea for what inspectors are looking at when they're going to school.
Now, one of the biggest myths Ofsted has sought to tackle is linked to expectations around marking. Can you give us a brief overview about this? Can you talk to us about this, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, we've been really clear now that we don't expect any particular type of marking. We don't expect any frequency of marking or any volume of marking. So, and I think we've made that really clear in the Mythbuster, but also in our handbook as well. I think that this came up because, again, in some reports, where schools were doing things, there was evidence that it was working in the particular school they were in, the inspectors went to, that it actually... the school, you know, was proud of the work they were doing. They showcased it to the inspector. The inspector checked it out. They saw that it was leading to progress, and it was working in that particular setting. Then the inspector wrote about it, and then it goes on from there. I go back to the fact that, you know, schools are unique places, and therefore something that works in one place might not necessarily work in another. And I think this is where the ball started rolling on the marking. But, you know, as I say, to summarise on that, I think we've been really clear on that, and we're not expecting to see any particular type of marking now when we go out and inspect.
What would you say to schools and leaders, therefore, who remain nervous that inspectors will still expect to see regular written feedback in people's books?
Well, you know, we've been really clear about feedback. It can be oral, it can be written. It's up to the school to decide. What we're looking at now is whether the policy that the school has decided is right for its pupils and the teaching, to make sure that the teachers are applying that policy across the school. And so, as long as the school is clear what it itself is expecting and the senior leaders are expecting of the staff in the school, and people are doing that, then that's fine by us. So we won't be looking for anything, but we will be looking at what's going on to make sure that policy is being followed and that it's having an impact.
Would you say it's conceivable that a school could have a no written marking policy and still do well in Ofsted inspection?
Absolutely. This is about assessment at the base of things. It's about schools being able to know what their pupils know about, what they understand, what they can do, and whether they're building upon that and making progress over time, and that the school, the teachers, are making sure the students and the pupils know what to do to go on to the next stage. And that could be through discussions in class, it could be sitting down with pupils, talking through the work, it could be through a written format. It's entirely up to the school. It's about impact. So it's entirely possible that if a school said, well, we just don't write down marking, and I know of a school actually that does this, and it's a very successful school. So, schools need to have the confidence that what they're doing is having an impact, and not worry that an inspector's going to come and criticise that, so long as they've got they can show that impact is positive.
So if a school was given feedback as an area for development in an old report, and they feel it conflicts somehow with the more recent myth-busting document, how should they approach this?
Well, it's very much dependent on the background of why that was brought up, whatever the issue was brought up as an area for improvement anyway. As I say, schools are unique places, and I'm sure that when the inspector went into the school and saw the evidence that the school of how the school was providing some quality of education, after discussions with senior leaders and with teachers, that was why the inspector came to the decision about that this was a recommendation. So I'm pretty confident that it will still be relevant to the school, and the school will have worked on it. So it would be unusual if a school could just ignore it. But clearly, if they have a way of implementing and improving that area in whatever way the school that they thought best to do it, then that's what they should do, because the recommendation will have been around the area that needs improving rather than the way that you should do it to make that improvement.
The document also makes it clear that teachers aren't expected to provide planning in a certain format. Are inspectors still likely to want some form of planning from schools?
What inspectors are looking at in terms of planning is that lessons are planned, but not that they have lesson plans, if that makes sense. So it's not about the format of the document or the piece of paper that the teacher plans the lessons on. We won't have a view on that. What we'll have a view on is whether when we go into lessons and see teaching going on and see learning going on, that it's clearly part of a planned programme of work for the pupils. Mm-hmm. That the resourcing is good and it's helpful to the pupils, that they may be using textbooks in the right kind of way, that it leads on from prior work and it pushes the pupils forward. So it's more, as I say, about the way that there are planned lessons rather than lesson plans.
Now, schools are no longer using national curriculum levels. Could you explain to us how inspectors are judging progress within schools?
Yeah, this is really important actually, because lots of people talk about assessment and levels and what have you, or points or various different types of information, but at the root of this is the school's curriculum. So what schools need to be able to do is explain how they develop the curriculum for the pupils. If they know and can articulate how they've done that, they should then, the next stage is to say, so how do we then know whether the pupils have learned what they should learn within that curriculum? And so schools need to be able to identify the big milestones towards those big ideas in the curriculum that they want the children, the pupils to learn about. So then, once you've got your milestones in place, it's then about how do you know the children are meeting those milestones towards, are making progress towards the goals for those pupils. So as long as schools can explain how they know that, how they've set that process about across the school for the pupils, as long as they can then say, and so we know that children are meeting those goals as we go along, and they can crucially they can show how they use that information to promote achievement for the pupils, then in whatever way